Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Before we get started with today's show, I just want to mention something. The book Change Your Life Now has been available on the Superhuman Radio website for some time now, and we've gotten lots of good reviews of the book, and the author, Trevor Fife Sr., has offered our listeners an additional 15% off of the book if you've been sitting on the fence trying to make a decision whether you want to get the book and read it. You can go to superhumanradio.com, look for the Change Your Life Now banner ad, click it, and you'll be transported to an order page that will automatically give you an additional 15% off of the book. So check that out, Change Your Life Now. My guest today is a friend of the show, is Anthony Roberts. How you doing, Anthony?
What's up, Carl?
And today's subject matter is useful strength, a discussion of logic. And the reason for this show is this. If you're an athlete, a football player, a basketball player, whatever, you are going to use resistance training to increase your ability to perform your chosen sport. But if you're not an athlete, you're an average schmo like me, and the extent of my sports experience is lugging heavy bags out of Trader Joe's, moving furniture, and the day-to-day things that happen in life, shouldn't you be training for useful strength instead of sports-specific strength? What do you think, Anthony?
I think most people don't train for either. I would say most people train like they train the way the magazines tell them. You know,
for aesthetics. You think they're training for aesthetics?
Yeah, I would say most people. I think aesthetics though will follow if people were training in a more sort of useful way. I think most people say, all right, what can I do to look like? I'll say Christian Boving, right? For everyone who knows who he is,
yeah.
What can I do to look like Christian Boving? And they'll do sort of typical, side raises, for their shoulders or whatever. I mean, if you look at that movement, it really isn't done in your daily life ever.
Right. I agree.
I can't think of a time I've done that.
I mean, when you really examine what you do on a day-to-day basis, you push things, you pull things, you lift things.
Maybe put something on a shelf over your head.
Yeah, you do it. Right, a pressing movement over the head. Absolutely.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you sent me a video because the farmer's walk has become one of my favorites. I used to do farmer's walks years ago for grip work. And then I hurt my sciatic nerve in my right leg. My leg actually, I became lame for about a month. And one of the things I remembered was when I interviewed Michael Boyle. Maybe it's either Michael Boyle or Dan John, but one of them said to me, farmer's walks are great for hips, creating strong, stable hips. And that I lost a lot of strength in my hips when I hurt myself, in my right hip specifically. So I started doing farmer's walks now, not with my grip in mind, but with my hips in mind. And what I learned about farmer's walks is they build just about everything. I mean, grip, hip, shoulder girdle, abdominals, quads, hamstrings. I mean, they really hit everything. The farmers, everybody should be doing farmers walks, in my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a great exercise too. And if you think about it, if you've ever had to walk with grocery bags, that's what the farmers walk is. If you've ever had to help someone move and picked up, one thing in each hand and walked it, from a moving truck up a few flights of stairs. It's one of those things where being able to carry, a load and move it from one place to another, that's, it's a basic skill of life.
Now, just because you're in the gym benching and deadlifting and squatting heavy weights doesn't ensure that you'll be able to execute these types of movements with any great degree of proficiency unless you practice them. Tell the story about your buddy who was moving, who happens to have a home gym.
Yeah, well, no, he's a bit of a lunatic with the home gym stuff. He's got more than I would call a home gym. And anyway, we were moving, you know, from the top floor of the building he was in to a larger apartment on the bottom floor. It was a three-story building. And a couple friends pitched in. My friends are pretty athletic, so each of us come from a different background. And one of us sort of has the bodybuilding thing going on. The other would be more similar to a power lifter. And, you know, and then my other friend, you know, is an athlete. And as we're going up and down the stairs, people are fatiguing at different rates. The bodybuilder was absolutely the first to, you know, to die out. You kind of would think that it would be the power lifter, but it wasn't.
Interesting.
And I'll tell you why I think that is. If, you know, and this kid has 72-pound kettlebells, which right. are a pain. You know, and you're not yeah. carrying two of them down the stairs. You're doing it as a suitcase lift.
Right, I was just going to say it becomes a suitcase lift, which is really difficult.
No, it's very difficult, but you're not doing it, you know, you're not doing it
bilaterally where
without
you're balanced.
Having a free hand.
Right, you're, where you're balanced. Right, right.
Right, so I think the power lifter fatigued after the bodybuilder because relatively the loads we were carrying were less of his, you know, percent max in that awkward lift.
You actually talked about this once before with me. You once asked me if you wanted to become faster, do you think mm-hmm. that you should do speed work or should you do heavy weight work? And I said speed because I thought that was the answer. And you said no, heavy weight, because then your body becomes a lower percentage of the weight that you can handle and you can push it faster. And that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, Johnny Schaefer down at Gray Skull Barbell just did an article called Appropriate Conditioning. And I think he might use the example of a firefighter who's, you know, in the firefighter games or whatever. And the guy will say, I got to carry this 80-pound sandbag up three flights. I have to work on my endurance. And Johnny will say, well, what are you squatting? And the guy says, you know, whatever, 240. So the load is one-third of his squat. And Johnny will make the argument that, you know, a guy with terrible endurance that squats 800 now is carrying 10% of his max. That's nothing. So you might say the guy's got terrible endurance, but on the other hand, that's not a load that would cause him any fatigue.
Right.
So, you know, Johnny's prescription is to increase your strength, like get stronger.
And you'll get faster. Right.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is you know, running speed improves with more force production on the ground. You know, people think it's, you know, whatever. The highest sort of correlative is how much force you're applying to the ground to how fast you are.
Well, when you think about race cars for a second, yeah. You think about the cars that run the quarter miles. They have such immense horsepower that they're able to launch and reach top speed in literally a few seconds.
Right.
So if you were a sprinter, it is raw brute power that would make you a better sprinter and not greater levels of endurance or, you know, I mean, it just stands to reason. It makes perfect sense. It really does.
Yeah, and it always kind of shocks me when people say they're training for something. My general rule is if I don't know what you're training for by looking at you, your training probably sucks.
Yeah, that's fine.
If I see a kid running a mile, right, and you tell me he's training for free, so I see a lineman running a mile in football practice, running four laps, I wouldn't know he's training for football because I've never seen a football player run a continuous mile. You know, generally, if I don't know what you're doing, your training's terrible.
Right.
It's not useful. It's not going to produce that kind of useful, you know, strength that we're talking about.
Okay, so I've kind of gotten this religion myself lately because I've been rehabilitating myself, and as I'm rehabilitating myself, I'm finding out that I'm still growing, I'm getting stronger, I'm reaching the goals, but all of a sudden, I'm doing things that are counterintuitive to me to build my body. And what I want to do is we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I first want to talk about the types of movements that make for good movements to incorporate into useful strength, and how to effectively use these movements in the gym to start to really train for something, you know? I don't care. Maybe your goal is to be able to move a piece of furniture by yourself. Yeah. but to train for something that you do in everyday life. Maybe you need to throw your boss out a window, and he's big, right? So, right. All right, so stay tuned. We're talking today with Anthony Roberts. You can learn more about Anthony at anthonyroberts.co.z, like zebra, A like apple. We'll be right back. I'm holding on the road, got 10 feet off the ground. A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development, a company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitric EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them. Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get your today and join the LG Sciences uprising. Selective androgen receptor modulators represent the future of hormone replacement therapy. Institutions looking to perform research depend upon the potency and authenticity of the materials they buy. That's why your institution needs to trust Chemex for their SARMS materials. Go to chemx.net today for SARMS S4 for your research project. Don't trust the success of your project to questionable sources. Trust chemx.net. That's chemx.net. Chemex. .net. Turinabol from primordialperformance.com is a haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at primordialperformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow. Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Did you know that you can follow me on Twitter? But if you follow too closely, I will turn around and smack you. Go to twitter.com/tricepter, T-R-I-C-E-P-T-O-R, and receive announcements about upcoming shows. I promise I won't bore you by telling you that I'm at the grocery store buying organic grass-fed beef right now, because I don't think you're interested in that. But I will tell you what upcoming shows are so you can plan to listen live. Because very shortly we're going to start taking call-ins. I'm actually toying with the idea of going to a two-hour show. Anyway, a guy I like to call my friend, Anthony Roberts. We're talking today about useful strength. And really is a discussion of logic. And, you know, you're the good guy to talk about because you did study philosophy, didn't you?
And that's my concentration is logic, yeah.
Yeah,
I have a bachelor's, Bachelor of Arts from Seton Hall University, and it's in philosophy, and I did focus on logic.
There you go. Okay, so now let's talk about this. Exercises that make the crossover. If you want to start to integrate movements into your routine, maybe one at a time or more, that will allow you to develop useful strength, strength that you will use in your day-to-day life, what kind of movements do you think are good? I mean, the farmer's walk by far I think everybody should be doing the farmer's walk, but that's just me.
Yeah, no, and I think when we talk about useful movements, we assume that people have, you know, have a certain foundation, like everyone's got to be squatting. I mean, if you ever sit down during the course of the day and you're forced to stand back up, you should be squatting, you know?
Good point.
You're bedridden, fine. Everyone else needs to be squatting. I think everyone needs to be putting something over their head at least once a week, you know?
Now, that could be an overhead press, or that could be an overhead squat. Dan John loves that overhead squat.
I'm a convert to the overhead squat.
You like it, huh?
I do. You know, the thing about it is when I first tried doing it, I don't know what I was thinking. I set the pins in the rack as high as possible. I tried to get the grip and then walk it out.
Right.
I think if you're doing overhead squats, learn how to snatch it into that position.
Yeah, because, you know, there's a lot to be said for preloading the muscles into their position. I mean, that's a good point.
Snatching it.
And so, yeah. Is there danger of shoulder injury when you do overhead squats?
You know what? It's a very odd sensation because the bar is very far back.
Right.
It's a static hold, and really, when you start doing it, it's like you just started squatting. In fact, I think I squatted more the first time I tried squatting. I think I squatted the same amount when I first tried squatting at 14 as I could do like a few years ago with the overhead squat.
So if you're able to back squat 405, that has no bearing on what you can overhead squat, correct?
You might not be able to balance the bar.
Yeah, and there's a lot to be said for this. I mean, you know, we lift things over our heads more often, you know, putting things up on shelves.
Yeah.
And, you know, and a lot of times you have to lift something and get your legs involved too. So the overhead squat is an ideal movement. What about the military press?
You know, I find that a push press or especially like a seated military press is, to me, it has specific application. Like it's going to help your shoulders, I guess, you know, help you get stronger shoulders.
Right.
If you're involved in maybe a sport that involves pressing and you're looking for a specific shoulder exercise. But how many times do you lift something over your head while you're seated? Like in real life, as we call it.
Right.
Never.
Right.
Never. And, you know, strict pressing. I used to warm up to a push jerk with, you know, first I would do standing, you know, military. Most people mean seated when they're talking about it. I'd do standing military. Then I would move to a push press and a push jerk. So those other movements were sort of a warm up that was a less dynamic than my final heavy end sets.
I personally think that you're better off doing a standing traditional military press because these are the types of movements I believe that truly build useful strength. Because when you do a standing military press, your spine, your abdomen, your spinal erector muscles, your abdominal muscles, your glutes, your hamstrings, your whole body is working because it's supporting. It becomes the platform that your shoulders are pushing off of.
And check out the kinds of weights people use. Like the difference in how much weight people can use is staggering. You can do far less with a standing. I mean, just in terms of, you know, someone who's used to being anchored into a military press, you know, seat. Versus having to unrack the bar, you know, from a squat rack, then rest it on their shoulder. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a totally different idea.
Well, the other thing is, there's a lot to be said for recruiting multiple muscle groups and its effect on fine-tuning or even, for lack of better terms, growing the central nervous system. You know, we know that as muscle strength increases, so does the inroads that the nervous system makes into those muscles. We know that there's a collateral change in neurogenesis as strength increases. And so when you're doing a whole body movement, like a farmer's walk, where your whole body's involved, like a standing military press, where your whole body is supporting this weight, your body is having to pay attention to a lot of muscle groups at once. It's like the guy on the Ed Sullivan Show with all the plates going.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
does two things. It causes you to be much, you have to be a much more focused person. The more proficient you become at movements like that, the more focus you develop. And number two, it increases the coordination and growth of your nervous system. And those are valuable things as you age. What's that? No, I said those are, I'm sorry. I don't mean to keep stepping on. I don't mean.
Show me two athletes. I need two athletes. One is walking up to a.
I knew it. I knew something was wrong. I was about to lose him. Yeah, hold on a second. Let's see something here. Okay. Well, this is the beauty of live radio. I knew something was going on. Well, I think I was talking to Anthony on a cell phone, and his battery may have gone dead. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take an early commercial break, and when we come back, we'll pick up with Anthony Roberts. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. Orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I just want to remind anybody who bought an Earth Pulse unit as a result of the last show where you got the discount on the unit, I need you to call 206-222-2218 and leave me a voicemail about any changes, good, bad, or none at all, from you using the Earth Pulse unit. Many of you should have had your units for a couple of weeks now and sleeping with them. So please call 206-222-2218 and leave me a voicemail on what the Earth Pulse unit has done for you. My guest is Anthony Roberts. We're talking about useful strength. Obviously, Anthony's cell phone is not taking part in useful strength procedures right now.
No, yeah, it's been pretty bad the last few days, actually. We've had some sketchy weather here in New Jersey.
Yeah, that has a lot to do with it, too, believe it or not, yeah. Especially with the trees growing. Your path loss causes a change in cellular service from winter to summer. The trees actually create what's known as path loss obstacles, where your signal actually gets weaker, and then when you combine that with some rainy weather, you're SOL. Anyway,
yeah, I have the cell phone coverage with the all the red on the map.
You do have that one, huh?
I do have that one. Yeah.
Very, very cool. Very cool. I have the other one. I have Boost,
uh-huh.
And they suck. They suck. I send people text messages. They don't get them to the next day.
Yeah, and they're like, they repeat the one that, like, if I send you a text, your text to me repeats it, like, it reminds me what you're replying to.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's really annoying because I have an iPhone, and it, like, you know, I don't need that. I know what you're replying to.
I know. Boost, I got to tell you the truth. I mean, if it wasn't $50 a month for unlimited all-you-can-eat text and mobile and everything else that goes along with it, they suck. Even when you call 411 information, you got to listen to, like, three different advertisements before you get your number. Anyway, Boost, I know you won't be advertising with me anytime soon. All right, so there you go. So let's talk about some other movements that make it into this realm of useful movements for useful strength.
Well, I'll tell you that I do like a lot of movements where you're moving your body in lieu of weights, like push-ups, pull-ups, stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah, the majority of time you are moving your body through space.
Well, isn't it true? Didn't you write an article once saying that that the bent over row is second to the one where you grab the Smith machine bar and pull yourself up to the bar as far as lat activation?
Yeah, inverted row. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's inferior muscle recruitment.
So, you mean you're much better off hanging.
You find that there's a hierarchy. Like, you know, obviously there's machines are kind of at the low end of, you know, muscle recruitment, and it moves all the way, you know, through. I guess there's some better machines and worse machines. Then you get to free weights. And then ultimately what you're going to end up with at the very other end of the spectrum is usually moving your body through space.
Which actually is more beneficial.
Yeah, you tend to find that.
You know what the funny thing is? When I'm slapped into a machine, when I'm doing leg presses, and I do a fairly heavy leg press, even though my right leg has been bothering me, I'm still able to press pretty heavy. But I find a greater sense of satisfaction and less anxiety when I go from the leg press to, say, the hack squat machine. And I love doing reverse hack squats for my glutes and my hamstrings.
Right.
Something about moving through the air, you know, with your motion, breathing in time with your motion, it's almost like you feel this dialed-in sense that you and I talked about. Like when you have a race car that's the engine and the transmission and the rear end is perfectly matched, it's like every single gear is a pulling gear. You have that dialed in feeling, and there's certain workouts where you feel dialed in, where after you're done you actually feel exhilarated instead of exhausted.
Yeah, and you know, the leg press is one of those things. People put on this like ridiculous amount of weight, you know, and
oh, so you've seen me train.
It's an okay movement, but it's far inferior to probably almost anything you could do, you know, with a barbell to train your legs, probably even including a lot of the one-legged dumbbell work that, you know, guys like Mike Boyle are proponents of.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike makes a really good argument for not doing any bilateral leg movements, no squats, none of that stuff.
It's a great argument. And as I recall, isn't it based on sort of the idea, like, if you're tackling, you're springing off one leg, you're not sort of in a squared stance?
He says we all live on one foot at a time, and he's right.
Yeah, tackling, ice skating, you know, because he trains a lot of hockey players, taking a shot in mixed martial arts. It's a very good argument. I think we'd probably see some of Mike's athletes squatting.
Well, you know, I don't know if this is just me, but when I do one single leg, say, leg press, I cannot leg press half of the weight that I can leg press with two legs. So the hip girdle is contributing something.
Yeah, the bilateral deficit is the people with all the, like, cool letters after their name, like CSCS and CPT.
Yeah, right.
That's the bilateral deficit in their books.
Right.
It's funny because it's something that everybody knows, you know, but when you're really cool and you have some letters after your name, you know the name for it.
Right. The bilateral deficit. I'll remember that. I'll add letters after my name too, like S-C-H-M-U-K.
And you know, that's the thing is, anyone who's gone in and bench pressed 100-pound dumbbells is like tremendous. You know, 150s is, you know, huge.
Right.
To be able to bench press those. But a 300-pound bench isn't tremendous. It's like, yeah, whatever.
Right.
So, I mean, anyone who's gone in and lifted weights realizes that there is a difference. But, you know, I guess it takes the smart guys in the lab coats to
give it a name.
Put a name on
Once
it.
They give it a name, then it's real. It exists. You know,
right.
So would you say that any multi-joint movement that taxes, say, 60 to 70% of the body is an ideal movement for this useful strength concept?
You know, I think it's one of those things where even a suitcase lift, you know, that's going to be 100%.
Yeah.
I carried, and just so you know, my life isn't spent like lifting bizarre heavy things and helping people move, but a few weeks ago I happened to carry a keg. Like a full keg, right? It's only 160 pounds.
Right.
Right. I Googled that immediately because that was important for me to know. Because I thought it was going to be like, you know, 200 plus. And so I was in this parking lot. I had to carry it about 80 meters and across a double yellow traffic line, right? So it was a Sunday, so I lucked out. But across the double yellow had to be a sprint, necessarily. And it... You know, because obviously I don't want to stop in the middle of the street, you know, with a keg.
Right.
And so I had to sort of time this right and, you know, make sure there were no cars from either direction. The next day, the most sore thing on my body were my calves and hamstrings.
Were you carrying it in front of you or carrying it overhead, on shoulder? Where were you carrying it?
No. I cleaned it to about waist level and carried it that way horizontally.
Gotcha.
So my biceps actually were very sore, my calves were very sore, and my hamstrings.
Right.
And, you know, because it was a static hold, and I was winded. You know, and I was dripping, you know, sweat and winded and...
How much... So that brings me to my next question.
Yeah.
Why is oxygen deficit important? When we, you know, there's lots of schools of... exercise emerging out there that are taking this approach to useful strength. I mean, I know that you are certified in two different areas, both as a coach and what else? As a trainer?
A coach and a trainer, yeah, both different organizations.
And these organizations are the types that specialize in these types of movements, like kettlebell swings for 15 minutes and what's that?
Well, as a coach, I'm certified USARFU, so I'm certified as a rugby coach, and you know what we found, you know, through the years that I was working with the team, our idea was that we wanted to be able to win as many games as possible. So we had very directed training. It was the epitome of useful training. If something didn't carry over to the field and therefore win us more games, we didn't do it. You know, in 4 years that I was there, we didn't do anything, any drills probably that didn't involve, you know, the ball, you know, the rugby ball itself. We did, you know, 100% what's called SPP, or specific physical preparedness.
Okay, so with that being said,
yeah,
the whole concept behind oxygen deficit. Why is it important? I mean, I purposely push my body now, and I shared with you that I'm trying to lean out for my 52nd birthday, which is this Friday. If anybody wants to send me a card, I'll appreciate it. And so I'm trying to be as lean as I was on my 50th birthday. It's not going to happen because back then I was still using growth hormone. I had a prescription and I was still using growth hormone. I'm not using it now, and I'm not losing the body fat as fast as I want to, but my abs came in about a week ago, but I've been doing a lot more. I go to the gym maybe three times a week, and the other 4 days a week I train with kettlebells and dumbbells, where I do one consecutive movement after another with high repetitions, 15 reps of this. And you talked about, you said to me, there's some research out there that shows that doing like X amount of minutes of kettlebell swing with a light kettlebell,
13 minutes.
With like a light kettlebell, like a 35-pound kettlebell, actually causes a greater oxygen deficit than some other exercise. Why is oxygen deficit even important?
Well, what I was getting at when I was talking about the coaching thing was, for example, some people are going to fail after 30 seconds, right? The people that are sprinters that aren't used to having any kind of oxygen deficit after 10 seconds. They're going to fail,
right.
And people that are used to having a prolonged low-intensity oxygen deficit, okay, that work primarily in this, kind of aerobic stratosphere, they're always terrible sprinters. They fail when they're, when they have this short, rapid sort of debt imposed on their system.
Right.
Then you have the sort of people in the middle, and those guys are obviously going to fail at distances greater or lower, substantially greater or lower than what they're used to. So the oxygen, the energy deficit, it's important because, you really do need to train in, to train in all of those zones. If you're training for the most useful strength, if you're training to move that keg, right, that's pretty difficult. You need to train, all of your, energy pathways. And that's why we see the bodybuilder failing, when we're moving into the house, or the powerlifter failing. It's because they haven't sort of trained those various, pathways that you're training by doing the kettlebell circuits and, stuff like that.
You know what the really cool thing is? The more often you do it, now, like for instance, my routine in the morning now, I get up before I get out of bed, throw my clothes on, brush my teeth usually, go right out into my courtyard. I train outside in the hot Phoenix sun, which I'm getting plenty of vitamin D. I'm tan, really tan right now as a result of this. But, I'll do stiff leg deadlifts. I'll do I'll bring the kettlebells up to my shoulders and I'll do front squats. I'll do push-ups. I'll do curls. I'll do tricep extensions. I'll do shoulder raises. I'll do shoulder presses. I do all of these continually with very little rest in between, huffing and puffing from one movement to the other. The really exciting thing is, like after the second week of doing these, all of a sudden I'm feeling I'm not getting winded nearly as early as I do. And it has translated into greater strength in the gym. I went in and trained legs, day before. I trained legs yesterday. And even with my injury, I was much stronger yesterday than I was last time I trained legs. And so this pushing the anaerobic aerobic threshold together is clearly translating to strength.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that, you're going to find that. Even if you look at a sport, right, that's whatever it is, say football, and people say, well, a lineman is, only moving for an average of 8 seconds, or 7 seconds or whatever. Yeah, but he's doing that, maybe 20 or 30 times in a row, and then on top of that, he's doing that for 3 hours. So a lot of coaches, play the simple math and say, well, I only need to have a guy in shape for 8 seconds. That's not really true. And, looking at life as a sport, which is a great cliche, you're going to find that you aren't, to have useful strength, you aren't going to have a slew of only 8 second demands imposed on you in a day.
Right.
I mean, carrying groceries in, any of that stuff.
How about the sled, Anthony? How about the sled? I'm thinking of buying a sled. They're only like $119 on the internet.
Yeah.
You sent me a video of a group called Gray Skull Barbell. And in there, they're doing something similar to what Dan John talks about in his book, Never Let Go. Dan is a big proponent of literally, he lives in Utah. He picks up a boulder and brings it close to his chest while he's strapped into his sled and he walks through the fields with it. If I can't think of anything more in the line of useful strength than something like that. And in this Gray Skull barbell, by the way, nice video, guys. They've got some young kids, doing farmer's walks with a trap bar, while pulling a sled. I think it's great stuff. This is the kind of stuff we should see more of in gyms.
And the thing is, you know, you get something out of that. I mean, you know, if your car stalls and you have to, you know, throw it in neutral,
yeah.
First of all, it sucks if your car stalls and you're with your wife or your girlfriend because she's got to sit in it.
Right.
So, you know, your car stalls, now you have to push it with someone in it, right? You're pushing it alone. Your bench press isn't going to do anything for you because you're shouldered up to the car.
Right.
Right? The guys over at Grayskull, the guys that are walking, doing farmer's walks with a trap bar, with a sled attached to the trap bar, with chains hanging off their neck, they're the guys you want pushing it, not a 500-pound bencher.
And let me tell you something. If you think that that doesn't burn fat, if you think that, I mean, you want to talk about burning fat, grab a trap bar, you know, or grab 220-pound dumbbells and strap yourself to a sled with 245-pound plates in it and drag it around the parking lot of your gym. Your metabolic rate will be kicked up for the next 7 hours. You will be burning fat.
That is EPOC, the EPOC, exercise post-oxygen consumption. And that's the old thing where you look at a sprinter, and the sprinter is doing the short, high-intensity bursts of work, and he's got very low body fat, versus, you know, a distance runner who looks, you know, like garbage. And, you know, a 400-meter sprint, right? You know, and I mean a hard 400-meter sprint. That burns 50 calories in, what, a minute and change?
Right.
Well, you know, a mile burns like 100.
Right, and takes you 7 times, 10 times as long.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You know, a mile.
Also, let's talk about the metabolic effects for hours afterwards. If you, anyone who's ever sprinted, which I was actually sprinting a lot. I was doing Dan John's Litvinov workout in the park here. I would get 2 heavy kettlebells, and I would do a movement, either swings or squats or stiff leg deadlifts or whatever. And then after doing like 20, 30, 40 reps, let's say, and I'm just totally spent, I would then sprint away. I would turn and I would sprint from one lamppost to the other in the park, which was probably only maybe 500 to 700 feet, and then walk back. And you talk about oxygen deficit and energy expenditure. Well, but the most profound thing that I noticed was for hours after, my heart rate was elevated. I'm talking about 4 hours later, I was still sweating. I was sitting and I would say to people, is it hot in here? And they'd say, no, it's you. And I would be dripping in sweat after doing like 4 or 5 sets of those.
Yeah,
you talk about burning fat.
Boosted, and just the ability, your ability, you know, your work capacity goes up. And that's, you know, that's where you start looking at, if you're not training for a specific thing, if you're training for a specific thing, a known quantity, right? Like I was a rugby coach. I knew what a game entailed. I trained my kids for that. I did all SPP. If you're training for, you know, a sport, you want to do the highest carryover. But if you're not, you want to be looking at the stuff, you know, that Dan John talks about, you know, the real GPP, the stuff, you know, that really adapts you to as many possible variables as possible.
Yeah. All right, let's take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we'll close the show. We're talking today with Anthony Roberts. You can Anthony has a great blog. I enjoy reading it myself, and you can find it at anthonyroberts.co.za. Check it out. We'll be right back. Boom, chuck, boom, boing, boom, chuck, chuck, boing, boom, chuck, boom, boing. Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. change your life now.
A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development. A company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitric EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
We all know how effective amino acid supplements are. Well, get ready to be shocked. Amino acid supplements just reached a new level of strength. Say hello to Gear. Gear is super concentrated, super potent, and so bioavailable, it's equivalent to injectable amino acids. Gear is best used between meals to keep nitrogen balances tilted towards anabolism. Gear causes an increase in anabolic signaling that tells your muscles it's time to grow. Get Gear today by visiting needtobuildmuscle.net. Gear. This ain't your daddy's amino acid supplement. Turinabol from primordialperformance.com is a haloidrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at primordialperformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
You know, you can get an additional 10% off at orbitnutrition.com. At checkout, if you use the coupon code SHR10, that's SHR10, you'll get an additional 10% off. They're already low, low prices. And Mitch Barham over at Orbit Nutrition works very hard to make customers very happy. You can spend your money anywhere you want, but you may not be satisfied. Check out orbitnutrition.com. 100% satisfaction guaranteed. My guest today is Anthony Roberts. We're talking about useful strength, discussion of logic. And, you know, athletes train specifically for the tasks that they entail in their athletic performance, and people should train specifically with the tasks that occur in their day-to-day life. And that's what we're talking about, these types of exercises, the farmer's walk, the overhead squat, the deadlift, kettlebell movements. These are all movements that will translate to greater strength, useful strength in your day-to-day life. But there's something else to be talked about. We were talking about oxygen deficit a moment ago, Anthony.
Yep.
And 2 years ago, I did a show. I tried to find it quickly, but I can't. I should have thought about this ahead of time. I'm not that smart. Anyway, I did a show a couple years ago about exercise increases glutathione production. Glutathione is a very powerful antioxidant that the body manufactures on its own in the liver and in tissue. And it's possibly one of the strongest antioxidants that we know of. And it occurs during exercise, but only certain types of exercise. Interestingly enough, circuit training elicits a greater production of glutathione than, say, resistance training where you take 5-minute breaks in between sets.
Yeah, circuit training has a bad rap because, you know, sort of the fitness enthusiast, so to separate it from, like, the people that go to the gym, they're not really into the subculture, like, fitness enthusiasts think, you know, typically eschew circuit training because it's kind of a weenie thing to be into.
Right.
And that's because, you know, it was health clubs got 10 machines, they put them in a row, they got a new client, they said, here's what you do. Go from this machine to this machine and do 10 reps, and when you get to the last machine, walk back to the front and do 10 reps on each machine. Do that 3 times and get the hell out of my gym.
Right.
So circuit training got a really bad rap.
Because it was actually seen more important to the gym owner than to the client.
Yeah, you know? But that's really what it is. I mean, it really is more important to the gym owner. If you're only looking at your bottom line and you're trying to get people in and out, it's ideal. It's just, so it got a bad rep. I mean, but if you take circuit training, sort of like the stuff the guys over at, say in performance over in Dublin are doing, and you call that circuit training where it's, just a circuit of movements, creating this, conditioning response, then it's great. And, the benefits are...
Well, let's talk about what the value of circuit training is, really, in a nutshell. It's little rest in between movements and sets.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not really giving your body a chance to completely recover, and you're throwing it into the next movement, and you do this continuously, which causes what? An oxygen deficit. What are we talking about here? Movements that cause oxygen deficits being the ones you should be looking for. And see, as kettlebell, you can elicit the same glutathione response, in my humble opinion, by grabbing a set of kettlebells, drafting six movements, doing those six movements back to back with little or no rest in between them until you're huffing and puffing, and doing that three times, and bingo.
Yeah, and isn't that really, though, how we sort of do things, like, in the real world?
Yes.
Don't we bring in all the groceries? Like, we really don't sit down for 3 minutes, like,
in between
each movement.
Right. And, it's funny you should say that, because a long time ago, I started to think about work and exercise. And when you think about how you work, when you do work, if you were a laborer, you wouldn't go, I'm going to lift as many bricks as I possibly can to completely fatigue myself right now, so I have nothing left for the rest of the day. I'll have 8.5 hours to just sit around. No, you pace yourself so that you can get all of this work done in a certain period of time. And people need to look at their workouts in a similar fashion.
Yeah. And people, I think, quit, they quit a bit early. Like, I mean, if you're bringing in potting soil, or you're bringing in something to your backyard or whatever, mulch, whatever you do, and you have a bunch of 40-pound bags sitting there, you don't really stop till you're done. I mean, you're not, first you go with two bags and you'll go, all right, I'll get this done in 2 minutes. And then you realize, I can't handle 80 pounds per, walk. And then, it's uncomfortable. You have one on your shoulder, one under your arm, because no one's there to hand them to you. That's how we really do work, That's how stuff gets done in the real world. You go at the pace you can sustain, not an all-out effort for 3 seconds and then,
I think if your goal is to create this oxygen deficit with your workouts, then you need to lighten the weight you're using, but decrease the rest, increase the repetitions, so that now you are bridging the anaerobic and aerobic threshold. So you're doing these movements.
You can work longer, in that sort of that middle pathway. If you look at the glycolytic pathway, which is sort of in that middle ground of the duration of your work, the first half of the glycolytic pathway is considered to be anaerobic, and then it crosses over into aerobic while remaining in the same, the same pathway. So, and it's funny because we do see it like, you're carrying sandbags, the first trip you have like six, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You totally overestimate your ability. The first trip, when you move someone, the first trip into the house with you have six boxes.
Yeah, the most productive.
Up, it's like a Dr. Seuss drawing, right? It's ridiculous. Then all of a sudden you're like, okay, I can do that once more today. And then you sort of get into a groove where you're working very hard, but it's sustainable, and you build your work capacity through that. You don't build your work capacity through one trip with six boxes.
I want my listeners to try something this week in their routines. I want them to step out of their comfort zone and do a movement like the farmer's walk. And whatever you can do, grab 2 50-pound dumbbells and walk around your gym. It's just like carrying groceries. The reason they call it the farmer's walk, I guess, is because farmers used to carry buckets and stuff like that. And just try it. Dumbbells are harder, believe it or not, than kettlebells, because dumbbells want to roll and unroll your hands. They actually build dumbbells build greater grip than kettlebells, because kettlebells hang. They don't rotate like dumbbells do. So you don't have to worry about your hands unwrapping, so to speak. So you may have to go lighter.
Some of the kettlebells, because kettlebells, as they get heavier, I think have a thicker, right, a thicker handle.
Yes.
Yeah, I think depending on, you know, what kind of, and, you know, like I said, everyone's going to grab the hundreds and walk 6 feet and then go, all right.
I'm done.
Let me go for those 50s Carl talked about.
Right.
But if you grab, you know, tremendously big kettlebells, for me at least, the grip comes into effect because the handle's thick.
Right. Yeah, 50s and above, you start doing thick handle work. There's actually thick handle work that Olympic lifters and power lifters do, and strongmen do for that reason. But push yourself outside your comfort zone. You may feel a little dorky, like walking around the gym, but just do it. Try doing farmer's walks. See how long you can walk. And really what ends up happening is you'll gasp before your body will fatigue. And what I mean by that is, like, you'll start noticing that your heart's really pounding and your breathing is elevated, but your grip is still going strong. And you'll be like, you know what? I think I need to drop these weights, not because I'm fatigued, but my body is sending me a message like, you need to drop the weight and give me a chance to catch up on the breathing. And that's what will happen.
That's interesting, because you fatigue, like people talk about, you know, being gassed. You know, you're gassed when your cardio system gives out. Almost nobody's cardio system gives out during a loaded exercise.
Right.
You know, because they don't do enough. You know, and then there's times when your muscles get gassed, like when you're doing push-ups. You know, normally you're not winded. You can't do more push-ups.
Right.
You can't do more push-ups. You know?
Right, right.
So, I mean, it's good to work sort of both that endurance, you know, the muscular endurance, and then the, you know, the cardiorespiratory system where you actually do get gassed. I mean, if you're working really hard, okay, I'll put this out there. If you're working really hard and you're doing four sets of, say, four movements for 25 reps, intense, the heaviest weight you can handle, I guarantee you'll screw up the count.
Yeah.
When you get to the third set, you're like, was that four? What am I doing? How many?
Yeah, your brain will stop working.
The count.
Right. Because the oxygen to your brain.
Part of being gassed is you start to lose your ability to focus.
Right.
That's one of the symptoms. You're gassed. You know, inability to you know, do short-term, you know, memory recall.
Right.
You know?
And then you'll know you're doing it right if that happens to you. But I think everybody ought to invest in a sled and pull one around your house. Get a couple 45s and a couple 35-pound plates. Get a sled and walk around. Instead of going for an afternoon walk lightly, take a sled and pull it as far as you can until you're gassed, and then stand there and grab your breath and wait until you catch up to your breath again. Then walk it home that way. And try these types of movements to build true endurance, real muscular strength, and actually improve the quality of your physical functioning. And you'll get stronger in the gym. You won't miss a beat when you go into squat and deadlift and do all the things you normally do. You'll find that you're just as strong, if not stronger.
Well, how many times have you seen someone who trains regularly and they're called to task to do something, and the immediate heckling starts? I thought you were in shape. I thought you worked out. I thought this.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, but you're not doing those things that you're used to doing. You're moving a chair.
Right.
You know, you're not, it's not a perfect bar with, you know, the, you know, plates are spinning and it's easy to do. You know, that is, anyone who's had to move someone in, it's immediately, that's what starts happening. I thought you were in shape, and all the heckles from, you know, from the hoi polloi, and it's like, well, you're not in shape to do that, you know?
And if you want to grab a good book that talks about this type of training, you can get Coach Dan John's book, Never Let Go. He talks about all this type of stuff. I mean, he has some great protocols in there that really tax the body for real. Anyway, listen.
I floss regularly now, thanks to Dan.
What's that?
I do floss regularly.
Oh, is he the one who got you to floss, Anthony?
He got me into it where I did it very regularly, yeah.
He's a great guy, really good guy.
Several times a day now.
You can get his book at DaveDraper.com. Anthony, thanks so much for being on Superhuman Radio, and you can catch Anthony writes about the seedy underbelly of sports, anabolic steroids, and everything in between at AnthonyRoberts.co.za. Anthony, thanks for being on today, man.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll see everybody tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio.